And certainly does continue now with Lutfi Akara, Senior Associate in the Real Estate Law Practice at the law firm Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer, CDH Legal, that is. The conversation is part of our legal guide, and we are engaging what it takes to start a new township in South Africa. Starting a new township in the country is a complex and regulated process that requires navigating through multiple legal and procedural stages. The process is governed by the SPLUMA Act, which is a Spatial Planning Land Use Management Act 2013, which provides guidelines for land development, including township establishment. The process includes four phases: evaluation, approval, registration, and post-registration, each requiring specific documentation and approvals. This involves interaction with municipal, provincial, and national authorities, as well as compliance with laws such as the Subdivision of Agricultural Land Act. Given its complexity, it is rather crucial to consult professionals such as town planners and conveyancers. And one such professional is a lawyer, because all of these things in a regulated environment need to pass legal muster at each and every critical phase. Lutfi, thank you, ma'am, for joining us. Welcome to SAFM. Thanks for being with us. Lutfi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. Why?
No problem.
The conversation about starting new townships is probably going to get more and more intense as time goes on, because your formal establishments, like your cities for sure, can only accommodate an X amount of people. And I think we're already at that critical point where we are seeing the urban infrastructure falling apart purely because of the demand that it has to contemplate. I mean, if you look at the city of Johannesburg, it's the roads, it's the buildings, it's the water, just every critical indicator of what should be a world-class city is just not what it should be. And that's probably because, among other things, and we can talk about the lack of maintenance and the lack of planning, it's just purely because there are far too many people in Johannesburg than its public infrastructure can accommodate. This invites the conversation of establishing new towns and new townships, and as the case may be. So let's talk about the importance of just that against the realities of what is facing your urban spaces.
Yes, no, you are correct in saying that, you know, our population is growing, and the establishment of creating new townships, you know, is coming at a cost of just placing so much pressure in South Africa, in Johannesburg, and in all the main cities. I think, though, that, you know, there is still scope for development on this, and I think if we can get our infrastructure and members of the city of Johannesburg and the teams in place to just, you know, help to keep those infrastructures at bay, keep ahead and with the times of development, and attend to the failing infrastructure and using funds appropriately, I think township establishment can actually progress quite nicely with the population growing, but it needs to be done correctly.
When I hear and or use the word township, what comes to mind to me is always what typically is of a legacy apartheid built environment that was on the outskirts of main centers of economic activity, rudimentary development, largely your black communities, black, colored, and Indian communities. Indians being more affluent, colored being lesser affluent, and African communities being least affluent. In a conversation that is post-apartheid in a democratic South Africa, when we're talking about the development of townships, what typically should be part of a township setup, and why would it be different, if at all, to a small town? I want to get an understanding of what we are talking about when we are talking about a township in this modern context of South Africa.
Yes, so that's where the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act comes into place. And this act came in 2015, and this act came in to develop a new framework post-apartheid to govern planning, permissions, and approvals, and to provide the broad principles for a set of provincial laws that will regulate this type of planning. And so each municipality, so these regulatory laws by SPLUMA are set out in each municipality's relevant bylaws. And so this places the municipality at the core now of the planning and decision-making in relation to any land development. And this also allows the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform to publish regulations in terms of SPLUMA. So SLUMA was an attempt to create a legal framework to try and bridge that gap between the apartheid and the modern South Africa that we have today in creating land development. And so townships, when you refer to that in today's day and age in South Africa, you're not really referring to how we view it as the apartheid townships. Townships now are establishments for big developments. People are establishing townships for even commercial reasons and for, just to get South Africa on the map as well. So it's no longer considered this apartheid conception of what townships used to be. Townships are actually now moving in the modern direction, and a lot of commercial development can happen by establishment of townships.
No, that's a good response. And perhaps it is important to have that as the context, because I do want you to take us, please, through the four phases of evaluation, approval, registration, and post-registration of how to establish with a legal basis these township communities. Because as people are more desperate for land and access to land, you get even some political parties just saying to their followers, go and occupy. You've obviously got the development of squatter communities in and around these centers of commerce and in industry. A lot of the time, these squatter settlements are taking place on land that is not practical for settlements. For instance, we know in Cape Town, it's a low-lying city, if you will, and there are a lot of flood lines or flood plains that people build on purely because of the desperation associated with that.
Yes.
And it takes one natural disaster for everything to go crumbling down. So the understanding, just the general and broad understanding of how this setup actually should run from a legal perspective, do you want to just share some critical insights so that even if one person is listening, that's one person that we've been able to reach out to?
Yes, no, definitely. So like all these squatter or informal settlements, they impose this danger upon themselves out of desperation because, you know, the proper processes for township establishment is not followed. And township establishment is very complex. There's a lot of different parties that need to come in play to ensure that the townships are established in proper approved land. So you see, as I go through the different phases of what actually is involved in this process. So as I touched earlier, the township establishment actually involves the process of converting land, which is usually farmland, into a township by the process of actually opening a township register at the relevant deeds office, which maps out the land that the owner of this land would want to into streets and individual urbans according to an approved general plan by the Surveyor General. Then we touched on SLUMA, which sets the framework. And we're going to look at, well, I'm going to talk about basically the City of Johannesburg's bylaws on how to establish a township in Johannesburg. So you have your evaluation phase, which is regulated by the municipal bylaws. And the municipal bylaws states that an owner of land who wishes to establish a township may submit an application with supporting documents to the Executive Director of Development Planning at the municipality for consideration. Owners usually would use a town planner to submit this application because town planners have the knowledge and the expertise that can drive this process of the to drive this evaluation process and would know what supporting documents needs to be in place. Once an application is received by the municipality, they will then further submit it to any other interested parties, such as road authorities, neighboring municipalities, and any other stakeholders, whether provincial or national departments, which may have an interest in the application for their consideration. These interested parties then have a 60-day period to comment or object on the application. And if the application is actually unopposed by any of these interested parties, then the application should be finalized within 90 days from the date of receipt of the application submitted to the municipality. Once it's approved, you go into your second phase, which is the approval phase. This is where the municipality approves your application, and they will then issue conditions that will be applicable to the condition to the establishment of the township. We, in our field, refer to this as the conditions of establishment. This is also where a conveyancer will come into play, and the conveyancer will then prepare a certificate, a conveyancer certificate in respect of the land. And this certificate will deal with all title conditions and servitudes and any property-related queries that will affect the land. And the conveyancer will then look at it in conjunction with the general plan and any other property diagrams and get them all reading in one picture so that everything flows and the conditions of establishment deed with all these approved surveyor general plans. And then the conveyancer certificate actually assists the municipality in framing the conditions of establishment for the specific township. Once the conditions of establishment is settled, we move into our third phase, which is known as the registration phase. Again, this is where the conveyancer plays quite a pivotal role in this process. If the owner of the land decides that it only wants to establish it on a portion of its farmland, again, a surveyor general will have to be approached and you'll have to create a subdivisional diagram. If properties of land need to be consolidated and the township established on the consolidated portions, the surveyor general will then issue a consolidation diagram, and the conveyancer will also get any bondholders' consent that will be necessary to consent to this development on the land. The conveyancer will then prepare all of these necessary applications and documents.
Sorry, Lutfia, I don't mean any disrespect. I literally have about 30 seconds left of this show and for this conversation between the two of us.
No problem.
Do you just want to quickly go through that? Because, I mean, you are such in a beautiful flow, and I also lost track of time, so I beg your pardon for that.
No problem. So once you've submitted all the documents, it goes through the registration process at the deeds office, and then you have your post-registration phase in which your township application and register is actually opened in the deeds office. And then ownership of any public roads in the township is established or vested in the municipality, and your conditions of establishment will then basically guide as to how the township should be run. In this process, you also need your geotechnical reports, any engineering reports, environmental reports, and all of this come into play to ensure that your township is established within the safe environment and conducive for human habitation.
Look, I promise you we will have to continue this conversation. For now, you can just tell Mohammed Gatu that you did come to the show. There's a podcast that's available to this, and you should probably get free lunch at the director's table for this. You've done a sterling job. I'm so sorry that we've had to cut you, but unfortunately we just don't have the time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye to you.
Having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks indeed, Ms. Carter, Senior Associate Real Estate Law Practice at CDH.
If you think you can